Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul.
Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Reigns Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, The Importance of Prayer. Today's message is based on two readings, 1 Daniel chapter 2 and the second, 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first 7 verses. But as we begin our message for today, let us first open with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for mercy that reaches out, for patience that waits our returning, for your love that is ever ready to welcome sinners. We praise you that in Jesus Christ you came to us with forgiveness, and that by your Holy Spirit you move us to repent and receive your love. Though we are sinners, you are faithful and worthy of all praise. And we praise you, great God, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So now we return to the book of Daniel. Today we'll be reading out of chapter 2 and the first 23 verses. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. And then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream. My spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldean spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants a dream, and we will give you its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. And for this reason the king was angry and furious, and he gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And so the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them also. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. So as we continue in our studies, and we begin in chapter 2, the book of Daniel, This is the second of the challenges God's children faced in this time. What I hope you have realized or will soon realize is that through this book, that though this book is named for Daniel, the person who wrote this account and figured throughout, this book is not actually about Daniel, but is really about God and how God interacts in life. Daniel, like all of us, is merely a conduit that God uses to transmit his intentions for humanity. In this case, he uses Daniel, and in many others, God will use others. And maybe, just maybe, God will use you or me for his purposes. So we begin today sometime after the previous chapter, and the king is having bad dreams. We have all had a bad dream at some time, but the king felt this dream had a very special meaning and desired to know what it meant. So he called the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to get his answer. So just who were these people? First, we have the magicians. And these were not the pull a bunny from the hat type. These actually were scribes, men who could write and kept records for the king. These were the learned class and thought of having great knowledge when all they really had was access to information. And next are the astrologers. Much as in today, they studied the stars and the movement of the stars and felt they could predict future events. The magi of our Christmas message would have come from this class, and they actually did determine there was a divine message in the one star. Now, usually astrology is at best a hobby to occupy your time, not very wisely throughout. What we must realize is that the stars do move, or so it seems, but they only move at the command of God, and their movements can only be determined through understanding God's will for humanity. Then there are the sorcerers. We still have these as well. They derive their perceived powers from the evil spirits of nature. We must first not be astonished by what they show, either by trick or actual evil. And then we must ask the question, what good can come with operating outside of the presence of God? These men were from the dark side, and they could do nothing good but tricks of the mind. And finally, the Chaldeans, the only group that did not include a specific ability. Chaldea was a province or nation that allied itself with Babylon at first and then sided with the Persians when Babylon was overthrown. We are not sure why this group was included other than they had a reputation for knowledge. Now, when these wise men came into the king and the conversation became rather harsh, the wise men asked the king for his dream, and he immediately threatens them with a very unsavory death if they are not able to interpret the dream. When the wise men hear the conditions, they attempt to back out of the whole deal, and the king becomes furious and orders all the wise men of the city of Babylon to be killed. This included Daniel and his three friends, though it seems that they were not in the original group. Now, throughout this narrative, Daniel shows courage and confidence that God will provide for him and his friends. Daniel boldly tells the captain to allow Daniel to speak to the king. So first the captain was sent to kill Daniel on the king's orders. For Daniel to be able to convince the guard for a time is a miracle. Then the king, remember how angry the king was? The king then allows Daniel the time he asked. The second miraculous intervention from God. Daniel and his friends gather, and Daniel tells them their only hope is in prayer. Of note here is Daniel's use of the word or the title, God of Heaven. For God and Daniel, and Daniel uses it more than any other name. We are not told the reason, but I think that all the gods of Daniel's time and even till today were considered to be gods of some specific activity or nature. For example, Baal was the god of the storm and rain. Azeroth was a fertility goddess. But there is only one true God, and that was the God who reigns from heaven. Now, how many of us would have as our first thought when threatened with such sure death to turn to God as our only response? I'm sure I would pray, but I also would take some kind of action on my own thought or perceived strength. Daniel and his friends turned to prayer as we all should, no matter the difficulty we may face in life. And this is the main reason from Daniel, to turn it over to God, no matter what it may be, and then to trust that God will do what is best. So guess what? In verse 19, we are told, "Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision." Now, after hearing the earnest prayer of the four Hebrew young men, God answers Daniel through a dream. I find it ironic that God uses the same method to raise the question in the king's mind that God uses to reveal the answer to Daniel. We're not told if it was the very night that they prayed or several days later, for that is not important. What is important is that God does answer prayer for our good. So what does Daniel do with this revelation? Does he run to the king to seek his life with the information provided God? No. Daniel first gives thanks to God for answered prayer, and then sings a song of praise to God. When we get answers to our deepest and darkest fear, what is the first thing we do? It had better be that we thank and praise God, even if the answer just may not be the one we really desired. But to know God, that He hears all faithful prayers and gives answers to all. And by the way, the answer is in next week's message. So don't you just hate it when you see "continued" flash across the screen after waiting for the end. We now return to 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first 7 verses. "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." But preacher, this is what we read last week. Did you forget? Well, I do forget a lot anymore, but this I did not forget, for last week was an introduction and is far more important than one brief message. We will not recover what I said last week, but will simply expand upon it. As we heard this morning from Daniel, prayer should be a focus in life for all of us. We need to understand just what prayer is before we can live a prayerful life that will be pleasing to God. Now, last time we spoke of the four types of prayer that Paul told to Timothy: supplication, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving. And it would be great if we used all four every time we pray, but our situations vary in life, and we will feel a greater need in one or some of these at times and not so much for the others. It also depends on our maturity in the faith. As an example, a person whose faith is relatively new or shallow will usually feel the need for supplication or intercession far more often than in giving thanks. I don't wish to set any artificial rules on your prayer life that you may feel forced to pray in a certain way when it just isn't what you feel at need in the moment. Prayer is an individual activity most of the time, and how you pray is between you and God, so don't think your prayer should adopt any specific form. The best answer to the prayer is when the disciples of Jesus asked him to teach them to pray, the model we call the Lord's Prayer. And this is a very good prayer, perfect since it came from the lips of Jesus. But also remember the original question. What Jesus did in the Lord's Prayer was to demonstrate a model for use in prayer that contains all the primary elements of God-ordained and effective prayer. First, all prayer should be directed to God and God magnified and glorified. Second, God is very aware of our needs and situations where we need help. Next, we should acknowledge our imperfections and shortcomings in life. How can you ask God for forgiveness when you never ask for your own? Now, God doesn't lead us into temptation, but this is a request for the strength we need from God when we must face temptation. And finally for today, we must accept the fact that there is evil in our world, and we need help from God to address Satan and Satan's acts in life. That is a relatively quick capsule, and there is far more that can be said. But my goal today is simply to make you aware of what Jesus taught, and then we can layer it over what Paul tells Timothy as a tool to improve our prayer life. So Paul in verse 5 states, "For there is one God." This is a great truth of the Christian faith. This goes far beyond just saying there is only one God, and more than calling all of our desires to be of God. And many hide behind words that mention God and then go and do as they please. They feel somehow better that they did pray over the issue, but they also did not allow God to directly interact with their request. We don't pray and then tell God how to answer. We place our concerns before God, then wait for His answer. Usually, it will not be the same as ours. We cannot say our prayers and then literally go out and worship something else. Take the time to consider in your life what you have allowed to replace, or at least share time with God. We must commit our lives to the one who really can benefit us, and not only seek our own interests and desires. God desires we enjoy life, so being committed to God does not mean we will become droll and useless in life, but being constantly aware of where we come from and where we will one day go. Next, we covered last week one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom to all to be testified in due time. So when we pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, having personally experienced life as we live it, is the one and only way to God. We need to remember that when others say to pray to this or to that, a Christian will only pray to God, but only through Christ. Paul, after clarifying just who it is we worship, then turns his role to ministry, for which I was appointed as a preacher and an apostle. We must remember that there were many who challenged Paul on his authority, and Paul here instructs Timothy the major purposes of one who will lead the church. William Barclay states that Paul accepted four offices of the church in all his actions. First, he considered himself to be a herald of Christ, to bring the message and the good news of the gospel to all men. This was his driving factor. Next, his authority came because Paul was a true witness, not spreading secondhand fables, but truth. Third, Paul was an envoy of Christ. We could say the ambassador to the unbelievers from those who believe. And fourth, Paul was foremost a teacher. For who can believe if they do not have the facts and have learned the truth of the message? Paul came to let the people know the truth of Christ. Christianity is not a religion of feeling, but one of faith in the truth of the Scriptures. If you doubt Scripture, you have nothing. Foremost, we must know and understand the Word of God so that we can relate it to ourselves, our lives, and the lives of others we care for. In today's world, we are expected to believe without facts. We are literally told to just believe whatever the ruling party tells you. Trust the science. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. But before we can believe, we require information that can be validated. When this is not presented to us, all that we have left is Scripture to lead a rational life. And Paul closes this passage with a declaration, "I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." As Paul was attacked for telling the truth of Christ, we also can't expect to find the same in the world today, that is mostly of unbelievers, many of which think they believe, but only believe a flimsy version, a gauze-filtered message that is not of God. We must become aware of where we are in our Christian journey. We must take appropriate actions to further our journey so that on the day of the Lord we will be able to stand before God, not faultless, for we are all sinners, but with confidence we have done our best and that we truly believe in truth. So from Daniel today, when troubled, the prophet gives us the path to follow to solve our problems, and that is sincere prayer. And from Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul provides for his disciples, his disciple and son, the foundations of the gospel and the importance of right prayer, that all may experience Christ, and that the largest possible number will find salvation. Amen. So let's close today with our benediction. Go out into the world in peace, have courage, hold on to what is good, return no one evil for evil, help the suffering, honor all, love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for our Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then the Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. So hoping you're having a very happy New Year. And this is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. To tell the old, old story and His love.